Wait, who are the two in the third row?
Take on summer right with Ford, America's best-selling brand, during the Ford Summer Sales Event. It's always a good time. Now with summer's hottest offer. Get 0% financing for 72 months on select Fusion, Escape, Mustang, and Explorer models. Plus, get $1,000 on top of your trade-in. Offer ends July 31st. Not all buyers qualify for Ford credit financing. 72 months at $1,389 per month for $1,000 finance regardless of down payment. Trade-us as cash requires trade-in of 95 or newer vehicle or lease terminated 30 days prior to or 90 days after new retail delivery. Not available on Mustang Shelby GT350, GT350R. See dealer or go to buyfordnow.com for complete details. Take new retail delivery from dealer stock by July 31st, 2017.
The Hawkeyes, thin at wide receiver, not quite as thin anymore.
You're from freaking Iowa.
This aggression will not stand, man.
From the heart of Eastern Iowa and the insert name of sponsor here, Studios.
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show.
You worry about that free agent aspect. But right now, the way the rules are, you know, it's going to happen. And, you know, it's just part of college football, I guess.
What a coincidence. That was Iowa head football coach Kirk Ferentz when he joined us in Chicago at Big Ten Media Days on Monday. And yeah, you worry about the free agent aspect, but well, rules are the rules. Well, the Hawkeyes sort of signed a free agent today, at least in the realm of college football speak. Welcome into the Todd Brommelkamp Show. Alex Kuhn, producer Kyle Mann, along for the ride today, taking you up until 7 o'clock. 106.3 FM, the South Gym in Iowa City, 107.5 FM, the North Gym in Cedar Rapids, and all across eastern Iowa on 1600 AM, our historic main gym frequency here at KGYM. Big show planned for you today. We're going to do something that I'm actually looking forward to. This is a little bit of a departure from the norm here, but life is no fun if you just let yourself get too comfortable, right? So we're going to be talking with former UFC welterweight champion Robbie Lawler on the program tonight at 5 o'clock. UFC, is it 217?
214.
214. I leapt ahead three UFCs. My apologies. UFC 214 is on the horizon Saturday night at the Honda Center in Anaheim, California. Robbie is, I guess you could call him an Iowa native. He moved here to the Quad Cities area when he was 10 years old, graduated high school in Bettendorf, and for the longest time there was the welterweight champion in UFC. He lost the belt about a year ago, and I don't know whether he'll ever get a chance to get it back or not, but there's a fight on the horizon Saturday night with Cowboy.
The Cowboy, Donald Cerrone.
Donald Cerrone. Cowboy. I just want to call him Cowboy, and then I think of Bob Orton and an Ace in my childhood watching WWF when I was growing up. And so every time I hear Cowboy, all I can picture is Bob Orton in Rowdy Piper's corner. But that fight has been highly anticipated. They both kept getting injured. It got put off, and it's on tap for Saturday night out in California. So if you don't like UFC, check this out anyway, because, you know, why not? Why not try to expand the horizons here a little bit? A little bit more closer to everyone's comfort zone here inside the building and out, though. Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com will be with us at 6 o'clock tonight to talk about the news of the day, and that's the fact that Kirk Ferentz and the Hawkeyes have added another graduate transfer. This is now 3 in 2 years, Ron Caluzzi last year. And then you've got Butler, the running back out of Nevada, James Butler. I don't know. For some reason, I always want to say Jordan. Is there a Jordan Butler? Is that a real person or a figment of my imagination?
Maybe
James Butler, the Nevada running back, which they added earlier this year. They snuck him into the media guide, but we found out today that the Hawkeyes will be adding Matt Quarles from the University of New Mexico, confirmed at Mountain West Media Day by Bob Davey, former Notre Dame coach Bob Davey, who's now head coach of the Lobos, told the Albuquerque Journal that we hate to lose this kid, but Iowa's getting a good one. So Cat is out of the bag.
And you heard it here first on KGYM on Friday when Rob Howe of Hawkeye Nation subbed in for you, Todd, And he had actually confirmed it with Quarles' high school coach at Hazelwood Central High School in St. Louis that he was, in fact, transferring to Iowa. And it'll be interesting because I don't think a lot of people know about the skill set of Quarles because he played in that triple option offense under Bob Davey, easy for me to say, at New Mexico. So it's good for Iowa to get some bodies at the wide receiver position, and we'll sort this all out. We'll get our first chance to see him on August the 12th at Kids Day.
He's got 13 career receptions, but he's also a veteran, if that makes any sense. And actually, even with the 13 catches, you drop him onto Iowa's roster right now, only Matt Vandenberg has more career catches than Quarles does. And as you said, they run that triple option down there in at New Mexico. That's Las Cruces, right?
That would be
Albuquerque. Albuquerque. Okay.
Yeah, Las Cruces is New Mexico State.
Okay. Well, you know, Steve was down there long enough. I should have known or should have remembered where New Mexico and where New Mexico State were both located. But they run the triple option down there, so the offensive numbers, especially for the receivers, aren't necessarily the gaudiest. He's a three-star, was a three-star recruit coming out of high school. I think he had offers from several Big Ten schools. I think Illinois and Purdue were both in on him. I think Missouri maybe took a look at him, maybe not too seriously, but he was from there. Is it Florissant?
That's correct.
Florissant. Same high school, by the way, as former Hawkeye wide receiver and current Cedar Rapids Titans head coach Marvin McNutt. Not that that had anything to do with it, but the Hawkeyes have a little bit of a history down there. And you were saying Kevin Cosgrove, who was the offensive coordinator at Wisconsin, right, for a while under Brett Bielema,
Wisconsin, and then he went to Nebraska
and
after
then
that.
Wound up at New Mexico, and he's the coach that originally recruited Matt Quarles.
That's correct.
To the Lobos. So
they've done a lot of recruiting in the St. Louis area, as have the Hawkeyes. So it's interesting to see some of these graduate transfers, who they were recruited by and now who they're recruited by. But yeah, I thought it was interesting the question that you asked to Kirk Ferentz about this moving forward and this program becoming comfortable with bringing in graduate transfers, because they went from not really having any memorable graduate transfers coming to Iowa City to now three guys who they expect to make an impact, one that already has made an impact in 2 years. And we haven't brought this up yet, but Matt Quarles graduated from New Mexico in 3 years. So he has two more years of eligibility
left. In theory,
left.
Yeah, which is kind of interesting because, well, let's say some of these young wide receivers don't necessarily pan out this year or look all that great. This isn't a one-and-done type of graduate transfer. Again, in theory, he could stick around for a second year. That's impressive to get that. And so both of these guys, because remember on Monday when Kirk sat with us in Chicago, he said, oh, I'm going to violate the Buckley Amendment here, but James Butler had a 3.2 GPA when he graduated Nevada. So both of these guys, to graduate in 3 years while balancing playing Division I football is a truly impressive feat. And I'm interested in finding out a little bit more about him. Of course, we'll hear more about him at Iowa's Media Day, which is coming up not this Saturday, but next Saturday down in Iowa City. And, of course, we'll be there and have that fully staffed for you with plenty of a reaction and interviews from players and coaches. And I was listening to the podcast of some other Nebraska radio stations today, and they're making it sound, well, they're not going out of their way to make it sound like they're still at Big Ten Media Day, but they just coincidentally have all these players and coaches on their program.
That doesn't surprise me.
And just happen to randomly have them on the program, pretending like they're talking to them live.
When you have a one-hour show and do 45 interviews, you're going to have some extra content for later.
I had it earlier. I found out the name of the new daddy, but it's not in front of me anymore. I think somebody in the building thinks that's run its course, because he told me today that he thinks we sound a lot like them or vice versa.
That's not exactly the biggest ringing endorsement that we can get.
Yeah, that was a real punch in the gut. And I've got a pretty sizable gut. I can take a good haymaker. That one was a pretty nasty blow. So what do you think? If you're a Hawkeye football fan who is maybe on the fence coming into the season about the wide receiver position, do you feel at least a little bit more comfortable today? 319-366-1600. And again, it's hard to tell when you've got a kid who's got 13 career receptions just exactly what you've got to work with here, but maybe he's not necessarily a great fit in that triple option system and is a little bit more of a better play, if you will, a plug-and-play in what Kirk Ferentz and Brian Ferentz are going to try to do offensively. And we still don't know what the offense is going to look like this year, and I go back to those interviews that we had on Monday and Tuesday in Chicago with some of the Iowa players. If you're a Hawkeye football fan who's expecting a lot of change on the offensive side of the football, I don't know about you, Alex, but I did not get the vibe that that's going to be the case. There may be a little wrinkle here and a little bit of a wrinkle there, but for the most part, Iowa football has an identity after 18-plus years of Kirk Ferentz as the head coach, and that identity is not changing with the third offensive coordinator in Ferentz's tenure, who also happens to be his son. I think there are some people out there that are thinking the wheel is going to get reinvented this fall, and they're probably going to wind up ultimately being disappointed.
I think so as well. The one thing that I just wonder about, I don't know if the offense is going to look much different. I just wonder if Brian Ferentz will be able to use his personnel and adjust to his personnel better than Greg Davis did. You saw last year when the passing game wasn't able to get going, he kept going back to it and back to it and back to the same guys and not trying anything different, and the passing game was completely ineffective. What good coaches are able to do is they're able to adjust their scheme to what they have, and that's no easy task for Brian Ferentz this year, but he's gone out and brought in some bodies at the one body at the wide receiver position in Matt Quarles from New Mexico and James Butler, another running back. I just want to see if the system is any more friendly to wide receivers than it was under Greg Davis, because you saw whatever the case was, whether it was from the lack of development from the wide receivers, whether it was the lack of coaching, I'm not going to speculate. But the fact is, nobody last year was able to get loose on the outside, and we'll see if that can change from a schematic. If anything that they can change schematically can help alter that a little bit.
I don't know why people expect so much out of the receivers at Iowa. For the longest time, and I think this is still the case, Kevin Casper was the last Iowa wide receiver to catch a pass in an NFL game.
That's true.
So, I mean, and that takes nothing away from the fact guys like Cuvante Martin-Manley and Marvin McNutt and he who shall not be named, because we found out in Chicago on Monday that Kirk listens to the program, and if I said DJK's name, maybe Kirk would probably change the channel, so I'm just not going to name him. But Iowa's had some pretty good receivers. They just haven't gone on to have any NFL success or anything, but how could whatever the offense is going to be this fall not be better than how they were treated, the receivers
exactly
were treated in the last couple of years? Now, look, Iowa is always going to be ground and pound for the most part. And Kirk let slip on Monday in Chicago. We talked with Mark Morehouse about this a little bit. And yes, thank you, by the way, Bob and Amanda on the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line. A punch to the gut is what killed Harry Houdini. This was more of in theory, metaphorical punch to the gut, not an actual physical strike. But if I start to look a little peaked and need to lay down, tell my wife and my son that I love them. Today, by the way, is the one-year anniversary of the first time that I got to hold my son. I was reminded of that today by Facebook. So thank you very much, Mark Zuckerberg, but a milestone there. Kirk let slip on Monday in Chicago that I think you're going to see Akram Wadley catch a few more passes this year. And we talked about that with Morehouse. The podcast is available at kgymradio.com in case you missed any of our Media Days coverage Monday and Tuesday. But I think that suddenly plants the seed that, okay, James Butler out of the backfield with Akram Wadley maybe off to the side as a receiving option along with the two tight ends and whoever's out there at wide receiver. Ultimately, as Mark put it, Wadley will finish the year with more touches, but he may not finish the year with more carries, if that makes sense. Now, this is all speculation at this point, but and that's all we've got until September 2nd when Iowa plays Wyoming and we get this thing going for good. But there were little tiny takeaways and things sort of seeped out in Chicago that I think now are seeds that will be planted, have been planted, will get a little bit of water, and will grow into genuine interest and perhaps genuine answers when we get together for Iowa Media Day next Saturday. It's 4:21. Cedar Rapids Colonels are on the road tonight. They've actually got a familiar face opposing them in the Peoria Chiefs lineup, at least in game one of that doubleheader tonight. Stephen Piscotty of the St. Louis Cardinals on a rehab assignment with the Peoria Chiefs. We'll get you all up to date on the state baseball tournament in Des Moines. What an absolute mess that was last night. But Kyle's going to join us. He'll have a big board update in just a few minutes. It's 4:21. Keep it tuned here to KGYM and the Todd Bromwell Camp Show. We'll talk a little Major League Baseball. Are the Brewers dead? They might be after today. 8 home runs today by the Washington Nationals in a 15-2 defeat. And who's up next for the Brewers? Well, they've got the Cubs coming to town for 3 games over the weekend. Could be interesting. Jerry Ask Investment Services text lines available for you, 319-366-1600. We've also got a poll question available for you today at KGYMradio.com. What should the Minnesota Twins do as the MLB trade deadline approaches on the 31st? Buy, sell, or stand pat? Poll question brought to you by Emil's Hideaway on 1st Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's next to the Home Depot. Someone earlier today on Twitter said that Jaime Garcia could be a Minnesota Twin in the same sense that Mike Piazza was a Florida Marlin. I think he was there for about 8 days.
Mike Piazza was a Florida Marlin?
Are you kidding, or are you playing along?
Yeah, I'm playing
okay.
along.
Okay. If there were people out there that were not aware that Mike Piazza was a Florida Marlin, just long enough for them to get the jerseys in the team shop and sell them, I think, and then they turned around and flipped him to the Mets. 4:23, we'll step aside and take a quick break. As we mentioned, Kyle joining us in just a little bit. Baseball talk on the way, and then again at 5 o'clock tonight, one of the more interesting interviews, hopefully, that we've ever had on the program, former UFC welterweight champion Robbie Lawler, set to join us in advance of Saturday night's big UCF card. Back with more of the Todd Bromwell Camp Show on the way after this.
Daryl Bewley here with Toyota of Iowa City. Most of you are aware that we have really amazing lease and finance specials going on right now on most of our new Toyotas or outstanding cash back options. It's the perfect time for you to come see us and check out the options and all the details. However, many of you may not be fully aware of our fantastic Toyota Certified Used Vehicle Program, which includes 12 months or 12,000 miles of comprehensive warranty, 7 years of limited powertrain warranty, and 1 year of roadside assistance. These vehicles must also pass a 160-point inspection before they can be certified. Also, all used vehicles we sell here at Toyota of Iowa City come with free oil changes and tire rotations for 2 full years with no mileage restrictions. So if you're in the market for a new Toyota or for a really dependable used vehicle, Toyota of Iowa City has got you covered. Come on in and get all the details at Toyota of Iowa City. We're on Highway 1 right off 218 in Iowa City.
AutoZone presents the oil change. Regular oil changes protect your engine from wear and tear, helping your car roll well beyond the 100,000-mile mark. And right now, you can get 5 quarts of Valvoline conventional motor oil and an STP filter for just $23.99. So visit your local AutoZone. With over 5,000 locations, the right supplies and good advice are just around the corner. Let's get you what you need. See store for restrictions and details.
Get in the zone, AutoZone. Austin, we got your game.
Dave Austed here from Austed's Golf. We're dedicated to helping you play your best and look your best. Our certified club fitters will get you into the clubs to fit your game. And we also fit you into great-looking apparel from brands like Puma, Nike, Adidas, and Under Armour. And the best part is it's all on sale. Up to 50% off. Austed's huge apparel sale going on now online at austeds.com and at your local Austed store. Save up to 50%. Play better, have fun, and shop Austed's.
How could I not mention that we've got Woodja on tap as well today? It's Thursday. I know there are some people out there that would probably be extremely sad if we didn't do Woodja. We're going to talk. I saw this on the text line here. We're going to get to baseball talk today. It's a three-hour show. But you've got the Hawkeyes who went out and addressed their biggest area of concern today with a graduate transfer. I'm not going to talk down to everybody. I'm not going to explain why I'm not going to explain why we're talking about the things that we're talking about.
We'll talk baseball.
When we talk about shows in Nebraska and then sort of the inside jokes that we have to explain on the program. I see, by the way, Ragbri is going on. They're doing a very northern route this year. I think Charles City was the either the starting point today or the ending point. And I saw that Lance Armstrong is riding the Thursday portion of Ragbri. Why do people still like Lance Armstrong?
I have no idea.
People are posting pictures on Twitter and everything, and I don't know. He didn't kill anybody like OJ did.
No,
but to me, this guy is a PED cheat and kind of an all around creep because of what he did to Sheryl Crow. He's just not a good guy.
He's the biggest fraud in the history of sports,
and
he is.
So do you get to the point where you see somebody who's a celebrity, and even though that celebrity is a scumbag, your overwhelming need to get a picture with a celebrity or be close to a celebrity overrides sort of your internal sense of decency?
I guess so.
I don't know. If I saw him walking across the street, I don't think I would walk across the street to even be in the same area as him. But there's plenty of people. Oh, I ride a bike. That guy rides a bike. Click, selfie. No, thank you. He's kind of a scumbag.
Like I said, I don't want to go I don't want to go on too big of a tangent. But
I should
the amount
that
of lives that he ruined because of people that claimed that he was using performance enhancing drugs, and the amount of lives that he ruined, he got people fired for claiming that he used performance-enhancing drugs, and it turned out that he did. No, he makes Ryan Braun look like a sympathetic figure.
2746 on the text line. He pretty much did a lot for cancer research, didn't he?
He did.
Well, yep, OJ won the Heisman. I mean, just look, I'm not going to take away the fact that the guy did a lot for cancer research, but he did it under these false pretenses. Oh my God, he beat cancer and he's so strong. He's winning all these Tour de France. Oh, wow. Man, he's inspiring. Well, he cheat. Not only did he cheat to win them, but he threw a ton of people under the bus, ruined other people's careers, tried to take the moral high ground by claiming up until the very end that he was clean, that he wasn't a cheater.
He lied over and over
and over again. So put that on the scale. Well, he did a lot for cancer research, and on the other side of the scale, human pile of trash. What a segment, what a transition to our first Midwest One Bank Big Board update of the day. Midwest One, where you're the one. Here's Kyle Mann.
The Iowa football team got some help at receiver today in graduate transfer Matt Quarles from New Mexico. Quarles had 11 catches for 180 yards last season in a run-first, run-second Lobo offense and has 2 years of eligibility remaining. After a six-hour rain delay at the Iowa State baseball tournament yesterday, Johnston and Linmar were able to make it onto the diamond for their Class 4A quarterfinal, and it was Johnston coming out on top 7-1. Iowa City West and Cedar Rapids Washington were next up with first pitch at 10:40, and when the game went final around 12:45 in the morning, it was West that claimed a 12-2 victory in the latest game in tournament history. There's one Metro team in action at Principal Park today, with Iowa City Regina squaring off with top-ranked Dyersville Beckman in the Class 2A semifinals at 5. All the rain that threatened the Iowa State baseball tournament yesterday made its way to Peoria just in time to get the Colonels Chiefs series opener postponed, so they're playing a doubleheader tonight with Game 1 starting at 6 o'clock and both games being only 7 innings long. We'll see the same pitching matchup we would have yesterday with Tyler Beardsley on the hill for the Colonels taking on Fredaris Parra. If the Colonels' rotation holds form, lefty Evan Sanders should start Game 2, which will start 30 minutes after the conclusion of Game 1. The Twins lost last night in the finale of a three-game sweep at the hands of the Red Hot Dodgers 6-5, and they're off tonight traveling to Oakland, so keep it here for some good old-fashioned ESPN programming.
Thank you very much, Kyle. If you haven't heard, there's a fairly high-profile college football coach out there that has some interesting thoughts about overhauling the bowl system and making it more like the NCAA basketball tournament. Would that work, and would that be a good idea? We'll talk about it next. Keep it here on KGYM, the Todd Brolkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, continues after this.
We're going to head to a bottom-of-the-hour SportsCenter update, which is brought to you by Steve Anderson and his team at Hawkeye Title and Settlement. They're celebrating 12 years of service.
At Hawkeye Title and Settlement, if we had our way, every house, every store, pretty much every building would be painted black and gold. But alas, ours is not a perfect world. Hi, this is Steve Anderson, and our Hawkeye-loving staff has accepted that fact. So, no matter what color residential or commercial property you're selling or buying, we're here when you need efficient, high-quality real estate title and closing services. Sorry, black and gold paint sold separately. Hawkeye Title and Settlement of Iowa City. You'll love our team just like you love the Hawks.
Yen app. ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Doug Brown. The Nationals tie the franchise record with 8 home runs today in a 15-2 rout of the Brewers. The Nats tied 2 major league records in the third inning, hitting 4 home runs in a row and 5 in the inning overall. Other finals today, the Blue Jays sweep the A's 8-4 on a 10th inning grand slam from Steve Pierce. The Indians sweep the Angels 2-1 in Cleveland. Just 2 days after the latest CTE study about football players goes public, Ravens offensive lineman John Urschel retires from the NFL at age 26. ESPN's Jameson Hensley reports Urschel's decision was impacted by that study. Urschel, in a tweet, says there's no big story here. Ravens quarterback Joe Flacco will miss the first week of training camp with a back injury. Flacco got hurt lifting weights, and doctors are hoping a week of rest will calm it down. Coach John Harbaugh says he wouldn't rule out signing free agent quarterback Colin Kaepernick if Flacco had to be out long term. Steelers offensive lineman Alejandro Villanueva gets a 4-year extension.
Gentlemen, JCPenney is celebrating Black Friday in July. This Friday and Saturday, save with amazing spotlight deals at Black Friday prices, like up to 60% off brands like Stafford, J4R, Foundry, and more, including big and tall sizes. That's getting your pennies worth. JCPenney.
It's the Rethink Kitchen and Bath event now at the Home Depot. Time to take your kitchen or bath from shab to chic in very little time and even less money. Start with 40% off semi-custom cabinets with soft closed doors from Home Decorators Collection. With free design services, you'll get them just right. And with shipping in 2 to 10 days, you'll get them right away. Rethink your options during the Rethink Kitchen and Bath event going on now, only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Now through September 3rd.
Concur does what might seem impossible for your business. It makes employees happy and finance happy. How? Well, employees love automated expense reports and invoices they can submit and approve from anywhere. And finance loves that they have full visibility into employee spend. Plus, Concur integrates with leading finance systems. Concur makes the process better for everyone. Concur. Expense. Travel. Invoice. Learn more at concur.com.
When your battery goes dead, everything can come to a stop. Don't take a chance on getting stranded. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts and get your battery tested free of charge. If your battery does need to be replaced, O'Reilly Auto Parts can help you find the exact Superstart battery that fits your car or truck at a guaranteed low price. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Once upon a time, there was a new crossover that refused to play by the rules. It flipped the script and made all the others look like fools. Featuring styling that's sexier by far and handles like a rock star. Introducing the first ever Toyota CHR.
Enjoy agile handling in the body of a seductive crossover that comes with standard 18-inch alloy wheels. The first ever Toyota CHR. The perfect ride to spin your own tail. Toyota. Let's go places.
Welcome back, 4:35. It is the Todd Brommelkamp Show, along with Alex Kuhn, our producer Kyle Mann, right here on 106.3 FM, the South Gym in Iowa City, 107.5 FM, the North Gym in Cedar Rapids, and all across eastern Iowa on 1600, our historic main gym frequency here at KGYM. Big program coming up for you tomorrow. It's the KGYM Road Trip, driven by Linder Tire. We'll be back in Iowa City at the Coach's Corner Sports Pub. Stop on in 749 Mormon Trek Boulevard. Kick your weekend off with great happy hour specials, $2.50 domestic bottles, $2 domestic drinks. We will have plenty of baseball to talk about with Mount Mercy's Jack Dom, including very likely a few trades that will go down between now and then. There's rumors on Twitter that the Tampa Bay Rays and New York Mets are close to completing a deal for first baseman Lucas Duda. That might open up first base in New York for Dom Smith, their top position prospect. We'll see. I should say top position prospect, not named Ahmed Rosario. Rob Howe would correct me very quickly when he joins us at 6 o'clock tonight. There's another rumor out there that the Dodgers are the best team in baseball right now. The Dodgers, much like the Cubs last year, are not going to stand pat, and that by the deadline, they will have acquired one of the following three pitchers. The guys who were on our poll question yesterday, Sonny Gray, Yu Darvish, and whoever the hell the third guy was.
I think it was Justin Verlander.
It was Justin Verlander, that's right. And I'm pretending like that doesn't exist because Verlander and the Cubs talk has been out there for so long. But the Dodgers, they're going all in, as they should, and we'll see how things play out. But some of these deals small, some of them large. Trade deadline looming on Monday, usually Monday at 2 o'clock Central Time, I think. Two or three Central Time is usually the traditional cutoff for the non-waiver trade deadline. And then you do have a lot of stuff that's going on. Last night you had Adrian Beltre, who's trying to get to 3,000 hits. He gets ejected from the game. Tell me you saw this.
I didn't.
You
I
did not this. See this. Okay, you missed this.
I missed this.
He was in the on-deck
circle.
Long
night circle. Moving.
He was in, yeah, that's right. You're moving. We'll
These
talk
last
about
two
that.
Nights have been
yeah,
out.
We'll talk about that coming up in a little bit too. So he's in the on-deck circle, and then he moves from the on-deck circle to a different spot on the warning track because he didn't feel safe where the on-deck circle was. So the home plate umpire tells him that he needs to get back in the on-deck circle. So he walks over to the pad that they have on the ground, picks it up and drags it to the spot where he had moved to and was immediately ejected. Okay, that's bizarre. Today, the Blue Jays are playing, and you've got Marcus Stroman, whoever the catcher was. I can't remember who the catcher was, and John Gibbons, the Blue Jays manager, all ejected in the course of like 35 seconds on one pitch. Stroman and the catcher are thrown out. I want to say, is Russell Martin still? Is he back with the Blue Jays?
He is with the Blue Jays.
I think it was
Russell
Martin.
He's been playing
Martin.
A little bit of third base this year, I think.
Anyway, someone will correct me. They always do. Stroman and the catcher felt that the home plate umpire had missed a pitch, and they were ejected within seconds of each other. And then Gibbons comes out to argue, and he gets tossed as well. And now you've got people saying, robot umps, robot umps. Robot umps are the way to go. I don't think.
Russell Martin, by the way.
Okay. Well, hey, a blind squirrel finds an acorn every now and again, as Hayden Fry used to say. I don't think that robot umpires are the way to go because, maybe at home, how do you do it at home plate? You set up some sort of complex series of laser beams and everything, and then you're like Tom Cruise in Mission Impossible. We're trying to come through the ceiling and not activate any of the tricks. And then think about it. The ball catches a millimeter of the strike zone. It hits that laser with just like the barely a bit of the stitching on the ball, and the computer is going to register it as a strike. I just think that's opening up a whole another set of problems. And it would be, if we ever got to that point, it would be a ton of robot umpires and Joe West. Joe West would be the only guy who was still calling balls and strikes just because MLB feels like trolling everybody.
And I swear I'm not trolling you or the listeners right now asking this question. If there was a robot strike zone, how long until the first person complains to the robot? I feel like there would be about two or three games, and then there'd be somebody complaining that the strike zone, the precise strike zone made by these precise laser beams.
Actually, what I was thinking more along the lines of with Joe West is Nixon's head in a jar from Futurama. Did you ever watch Futurama?
I did, a little bit.
Nixon's head is alive in the jar. That's what we'll get to the point sometime in the future with robot umpires, but we'll just have Joe West's head in a jar. He'll sort of be the head of the umpires union or something at that point. There. Disembodied Joe West. What did I do there?
You said he'll be the head of the umpires.
People say that all the time about various things.
And you don't even realize that you're being punny.
Exactly. And I go, believe me, I'm not smart enough to say some of the things that I do on purpose. They just open mouth, words come out. Every 2 weeks, I get a paycheck.
No.
And life's great, man. Life's been good to me. The old Joe Walsh song. That's for Bob and Amanda, because I imagine Bob and Amanda probably has a ton of Joe Walsh
just
laying around.
When we were at Big Ten Media Day, we had former Ohio State linebacker James Laurinaitis on.
And nobody currently at Ohio State, because they would not even look at Radio Row. But yes, we had former Ohio State linebacker James Laurinaitis with us.
So you asked him, I asked him, when did he decide that he wanted to go into broadcasting? And he said... For a while, he was wrestling with the decision whether to go to join the coaching ranks or join the media world. And we both looked at each other and kind of smiled because his dad was a wrestler.
His dad, for those of you that don't know, was Animal from the Road Warriors, one of the iconic tag teams in WWE history. And he said it, and I was like, oh, is he opening the door? Should I just Jack Nicholson my way, like in The Shining? Should I just pound my way through the door and be like, okay, dude, I've got to ask you about your dad? And I kind of wanted to when we were chatting with him, because he's very eloquent and obviously he works a microphone really well. And part of being a professional wrestler like his father was is cutting promos and doing in-ring work like that. And I kind of felt like going in that direction, like, you pick anything up from years and years of being around your father and all of these other charismatic guys, but then I dropped the ball and I didn't.
I wanted to say something as soon as he brought up wrestling.
Well, and then we got onto
I guess
pizza and breaded ravioli and
yeah, that was at the very end. Yeah. But Sonny in Iowa City, wants to join us to get back on track and talk about the robot umpires.
Okay,
Sonny.
Robot umpires, Sonny, go.
robot umpires. Good. Thumbs up from Sonny.
Why?
Here's the thing. Like, baseball is so horrifically behind the times anyways, and it takes, you know, ridiculous things that have to happen to, quote-unquote, save baseball sometimes, like the home run era, the steroid era also. The NFL has gone to instant replay, and everyone freaked out and said, oh, it's going to take away. Like, no, nobody cares now unless they still get the call wrong. So we're just inching towards these things anyways. And like you said, and I actually laughed out loud when you said it would be robot umpire Joe West, because that really does personify it. Like, the ridiculousness that is a guy like Joe West that can control and destroy a baseball game. Just screw it. We're not there to see the umpires. We are there to see the game. And if the difference between a strike and a ball is reduced down to a laser zone, I don't care. They still have to swing at strikes and not swing at balls. It's fine. Go robot umpire.
Appreciate the phone call, Sonny. Why do I have a feeling we're heading toward a future where everything is robot? Just turn the radio on and get robot sports talk with robot callers. Everything's robot. Hello, I am calling in to talk about Iowa transfer wide receiver.
Talk about sports.
Actually, there were probably a couple robot radio shows on Radio Row
in Chicago. There were several of them.
And most of them were from Nebraska. I kid. 319-366. I don't, actually. I'm being serious. 319-366-1600. That's the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line. If you want to join in on the fun and frivolity, someone is going to run for office in about 30 years, and they're going to try to bring back, that'll be what they're running on, bring back umpiring jobs. And Joe West will be there, the guest speaker.
Just his head at the time?
I don't think either one of the ejections that we talked about were Joe West related either, which is kind of shocking in its own right. But what's better, three guys getting ejected on one pitch or Adrian Beltre getting ejected for taking the on-deck circle, dragging it to where he wants to stand and getting thrown?
It has to be the latter.
And you know what? I'm going to throw this out there because Chris Bryant getting dumped from the Cubs-White Sox game the other day, and he didn't swear at the umpire because Bryant's like a Boy Scout, and he doesn't swear. He doesn't do anything that would warrant necessarily the reaction that he got. He wasn't happy with a pitch that was called against him in one of the games. I think it was Tuesday's game in Chicago, and he gets thrown out. This is baseball trying to appeal to grow its fan base, and it's doing it by throwing guys out of games who are, A, the reigning MVP of the National League, B, a guy who's chasing a major career milestone in Adrian Beltre. There were people in that ballpark last night just to see Adrian Beltre.
Could you imagine being one of those people? All right, we're going to spend some money, spend a little bit of extra money because could be there.
He's not sitting on 2,999 or anything like
that. He's 96, so if he has a four-hit night.
Which isn't out of the realm of possibility.
No, it's not. He gets thrown out for unless moving you're Javier Baez. On-deck circle.
Yeah, but it's classic. And he says, I didn't want to stand where it was because I didn't feel safe. So I moved the on-deck circle. Let's head down to Iowa City and bring Andrew onto the program. Andrew, what's on your mind?
Hey, so as far as the robot umpires, I'm going to say no.
Thank you.
You still need somebody at home plate that needs to be there for those close plays at home. So StatCast can do kind of okay if they expand on it as far as balls and strikes. That would be a way to go.
You still there, Andrew? Oh, Andrew must have dropped off there. Look, how do you do it? On the bases and reviews, everybody always is already saying the reviews are taking forever and they're grinding the game to a halt. Do you have a robot review? The robots, I don't know what you do, but there's always this human element to the game. There always has been. And look, there have been some egregious blown calls in history. Don Denkinger comes to mind with the 85 World Series. Cardinals fans, I'm sorry to bring that up. But I don't know. We're trending in the wrong direction here. I think part of this is you've got a human element. You've interjected replay to write. I thought originally replay was going to right major wrongs. Like when an umpire missed an obvious home run. Okay? It's gotten to the point now where we're reviewing bang-bang plays at first base in games that are, you know, six runs apart in the column, and it's like the fourth inning or something, and I was like, this is not what replay was intended for.
I still think, though, that Major League Baseball does a better job with it than even football or hockey. I watch hockey, and I see them reviewing an offside play that happened about a minute and a half before the puck went in the net because it happened before the offense got into the offensive zone. I think reviewing those plays that happen hundreds of times per game are ridiculous. But baseball, I don't know. I agree with you to the certain extent, but I actually think that their reviewing system has been, while not perfect, speedier than some of the other leagues.
I'm fine with robot umpires as long as you put a setting on the robot where you can turn the dial to choose what to put it on. Eric Gregg. Remember Eric? I think it was 97 with the Marlins, right? With Levon Hernandez, and he was getting 6 inches off the plate. And if there's anybody that knew anything about working a plate, it was Eric Gregg. 319-366-1600. Let's go to Larry in Cedar Rapids. Go ahead, Larry.
Well, good afternoon, gentlemen.
What's up, Larry?
Well, I've got an opinion on Major League umpires versus any other official, whether it be basketball, football. I think Major League umpires just think they're a little bit more in control and a little bit better than all the rest. And here's one of the reasons. I see that they tend to have a little shorter fuse than most other officials in other sports. And I also think they have a little bit less professionalism the way they handle themselves. One thing in general, the gentleman that threw out Chris Bryant the other night, saw him on the base paths last night, noticed he's wearing a goatee. Okay, you don't see facial hair on an official in the NFL or Division I college football. Or, you don't see it on an NBA official. You might see a mustache that goes to the corner of the mouth, but a lot of that is perception. How am I perceived by the people that are viewing me? And I just think Major League umpires have a little bit of chip on their shoulder. Think they're, they take more leeway than anybody else.
Larry, we appreciate the phone call. I'm adding this to the, I'm going to go home tonight and I'm going to get my soldering kit out tonight and I'm going to try to come up with a prototype. So no facial hair on the robot umpire. Sonny is a dual, just like he's a dual citizen, he's a dual participant today because he's using the text line as well, pointing out that tennis practically has robot umpires already because of the cameras. Here's my issue with baseball is you've got Aaron Judge, who's 6'8", and then you've got Jose Altuve, who's 5'6", or however tall he is, and those are different strike zones because the strike zone's not the same sized box. So then do you have a technician that comes out and says, well, we've got to shoot lasers at the knees
and the chest.
We have to alter the dimensions of the Robo-Ump 2000 behind the plate. And I'm sure with technology, everything can be done on the fly, but it's difficult, in my opinion. And it's not something that I want to necessarily see. And believe me, when we were planning the program tonight, the 4:30 segment was not going to be about robot umpires. 4:53, we will step aside, take a quick break. The text line, by the way, likes the Eric Gregg reference. And I feel bad, but it's just like certain people can use certain words and other groups can't. I'm a really fat guy. So if I want to make fun of Eric Gregg for being really fat, I think I can do it and get away with it. Whereas Skinny Bones, Alex Kuhn over here, he said something about Eric Gregg. I'd look at him and go, hey man, ease up. Don't go after my boy Eric Gregg like that. 4:53, we'll step aside. Kyle's going to have another big board update for you and more. Remember, former UFC welterweight champion Robbie Lawler will join the program at 5 o'clock tonight. Should be a great interview. Would you on the way? Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com. And we might even squeeze some more baseball talk in before 7 o'clock. Back with more after this.
It's the Cubs Report, brought to you by Hertin and Stocker Jewelers on the Pet Mall in downtown Iowa City, 101 South Dubuque Street. Stop in and congratulate Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate on 70 years in business. One of them is always there. It may seem hard to believe, but by the end of the weekend, the once-struggling Cubs could be up several games in the National League Central. Leading the Brewers by one game heading into tonight's Crosstown Cup finale at Guaranteed Rate Field, Chicago will head north for 3 games at Miller Park against Milwaukee beginning tomorrow. It appears 2 teams are heading in opposite directions. The Nationals belted 8 home runs in a 15-2 win over Milwaukee Thursday afternoon, meaning the Brewers are now 2-8 over their last 10 games, while the Cubs are 8-2 in that same span. They can gain another another half game tonight if John Lester finds a way to out-duel Mike Pelfrey on the south side. Lester went 8 innings, allowing 2 runs on 3 hits in his last outing, taking a no decision Saturday against the Cardinals. Pelfrey, meanwhile, owns a 2-0 record and 1.66 ERA in 3 career starts against the Cubs.
You know that Airgas USA, LLC, is one of the nation's leading suppliers of industrial, medical, and specialty gases? But did you know we also carry welding and safety supplies, hardware and tools, and offer MRO products and services to industrial and commercial vendors? We do, and we have a location right here in Cedar Rapids, on C Avenue Northeast. So the bottom line, Airgas USA, LLC, has gas, welding, and safety supplies. We're 30 years strong and getting stronger. See us at airgas.com.
If Ed Hockley had a mustache, would that make him a worse official? 319-366-1600. 455, welcome back in. Boy, that's a podcast for the ages. Hour number one of the program. I just want the description to say robot umps.
You hear
Can
that,
Can we make
Kyle?
That happen?
I got it.
Robot umps. Speaking of Kyle, he's here in the studio with us. Time now for another Midwest One Bank Big Board Update. Midwest One, where you're the one.
The Iowa football team got some help at receiver today in graduate transfer Matt Quarles from New Mexico. Quarles had 11 catches for 180 yards last season in a run-first, run-second Lobo offense and has 2 years of eligibility remaining. After a six-hour rain delay at the Iowa State baseball tournament yesterday, Johnston and Linmar were able to make it onto the diamond for their Class 4A quarterfinal, and it was Johnston coming out on top 7-1. Iowa City West and Cedar Rapids, Washington were up next with first pitch at 10:40, and when the game went final around 12:45 in the morning, it was West that claimed a 12-2 victory. There's one Metro team in action at Principal Park today, with Iowa City Regina squaring off with top-ranked Dyersville Beckman in the Class 2A semifinals. That game's about to start right now, and I'll keep you updated. All the rain that threatened that tournament yesterday made its way to Peoria just in time to get the Colonels and Chiefs series opener postponed, so they're going to be playing a doubleheader tonight with Game 1 starting at 6 o'clock. Both games are only going to be 7 innings long. We'll see the same pitching matchup we would have yesterday with Tyler Beardsley on the hill for the Colonels, taking on Ferdarius Parra. If the Colonels' rotation holds form, lefty Evan Sanders will start Game 2. In other Colonels news today, after a pair of moves yesterday, the Colonels have signed outfielder Jimmy Kerrigan, and he's going to join the team on Saturday. The Twins are off tonight, so after our show, you can keep it here for some good old-fashioned ESPN programming on all three KGYM frequencies.
The Twins signed this Jimmy Kerrigan out of the Independent Frontier League, where he was playing for the River City Rascals.
The River City Rascals.
He was hitting three.
My old stomping grounds.
Oh, really?
That's in St. Louis. They play
actually
out in St. Charles.
Okay, so they're in St. Charles. Is that near Family Value Arena?
Yes. Or the Family Arena, yes.
The Family Arena, whatever it was called. The place where a member of the Iowa Sports Information staff drop-kicked. Well, it wasn't drop-kicked. Place-kicked a tray of nachos across the arena
NIT.
During the NIT game many,
Iowa
many years ago.
I remember that
328,
game.
10 homers, 47 RBIs, 62 games for the River City Rascals. And he was most recently working as an intern in the VCU weight room. True story. I learned it on Twitter. UFC welterweight Robbie Lawler with us next.
Life. It's made up of the simple day-to-day moments that keep us all running on full. Full of joy, passion, and restlessness. It's singing full on to your car radio with the windows wide open. It's a whole bunch of early morning rush hours and a few late night runs for Rocky Road. It's full of pit stops and drive-thrus. It's life, and we live it between fill-ups at Valero. Valero top-tier certified.